You're listening to Gameplay with Matthew Cause on TSN 1050. We're going all in on the coverage. You can bet on it.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Gameplay, the third and final hour of the show. Joining us now, it's one of my favorites because we can go 100 different directions with him, from the Toronto Star, everyone's favorite follow on Twitter. It is Dave Festchuk. Good afternoon, Dave. Thanks for joining the show.
Mr. Cause, you're one of my favorites, too. Thanks for the kind introduction, and great to be speaking with you.
Ah, I love it. A little mutual admiration society going on here, which the audience obviously hates. Actually, I want to start in a different spot. I had a big picture Raptors question for you and Leafs and all that, but today being Bell Let's Talk Day, how different is the treatment of mental health in terms of how fans and media and also teams, organizations, how they view it? How different is the treatment of mental health in 2022 versus when you started in this business?
Oh, I mean, it's night and day. I mean, it was something that wasn't talked about when I started, and I'm fairly old. I've been at it 20 plus years, Cause, as you know. But I would say, look, let's give our mutual friend and colleague Michael Landsberg a lot of credit for normalizing the discussion around mental health in sports, at least in this market and around Canada. I think he did a lot to sort of, make the dialogue a lot freer, make people feel a lot more empowered about discussing such things. And now you look at it like the Maple Leafs have a player wellness department, right? The Maple Leafs didn't have that, in the years before Landsberg was, talking about mental health openly on off the record and other outlets. So I think it's a great thing. I hope it. I hope it continues. I hope it doesn't just stop at where it is, because clearly, you do hear stories about people not having access to care and not having really easy outlets for treatment. But let's hope that this is a great start. And in another 20 years, we're talking about a totally different landscape again.
Yeah. And I think like some of the difference. And one thing I said was that there's going to be people even now that when they hear Calvin Ridley stepping away for the year to deal with mental health, a great receiver for the Falcons, there's still going to be people that are going to go, what are you doing? You're being irresponsible, bad teammates, all that money you're getting paid, you're letting down the team, the franchise, and the fans. And when I hear that, I have two thoughts simultaneously. One is I kind of wish that was not the getting thrown out there. But the other side is I can still understand where that comes from, because I think it just is still going to take, and this is what's important about a day like today, it's still going to take a long time for people to understand and to connect that having serious issues with mental health is the same as having serious issues with your knee. And I think part of it is things like this, it just takes a long time for generations to catch up.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. It takes a long time. I mean, there's definitely a generation gap there. I agree with you. And you still do hear people, I shouldn't say here, but you see people roll their eyes a little bit around these discussions. People who it's that, I think Landsberg really put it well when he talks about how it's mental health and those associated problems are sicknesses, not weaknesses. But there still are people that consider them weaknesses, and there still are people that consider athletes who, are open enough and honest enough to come out and talk about those, they consider those athletes soft, and that's wrong, but it's real. And I'm not sure when that changes or if it'll ever change completely, but I do think it's in some ways generational.
Yeah, it is. And that's why, I try not to get too angry at people that have that belief. I disagree with the belief. And what you just hope for is days like this destigmatizes mental health. And that really is the important thing when it comes, like one of the important reasons for today. And the good thing is like you just hear less of it. Like if Calvin Ridley had done that when I started with Michael Landsberg in 2000, the conversation would have been, this guy is a quitter and a bad teammate. Today, right, that conversation is not like that at all.
No, exactly. And I mean, and even talking to executives and agents and coaches over the years, I mean, anybody that, there was always that go-to phrase, right, for a player who who knows what those players were going through, but you'd hear it occasionally in an off the record conversation, not the TV show, but you know, off the record, the journalistic term. Oh, that guy's a head case, right? Head case was pretty common back in those days. And I, sometimes it, maybe it wasn't to do with mental health. It was to do with somebody who had, you know, emotional impulse problems, or somebody who just was mixed up in the wrong stuff when he should have been focused on trying to make a living as an athlete. But head case was a go-to term. It was an insensitive term. It was, today it would be an unacceptable term. But, you know, again, that's, yep, that wasn't that long ago where it was definitely a common term. So I think we've come a long way since then, for sure.
Yes, 100%. 100%. Joined by Dave Feschuk from the Toronto Star. So, Dave, moving over to the Raptors for a second. Nick Nurse came out and said, you know, said yesterday that in the Raptors, you know, they beat Charlotte, they got the Bulls tonight, that making the playoffs, going for the playoff run, this is a big thing for the organization. It is a valuable resource for these players to get these players to be better and to help them grow. And I wonder for you, what do you think is more important, wins versus lottery balls? Last year's lottery balls that got you Scotty Barnes. And I bring this, I asked this question to you because you wrote a column last week about the Raptors being in the mushy middle, which is kind of where they are now. So what's more important, wins or lottery balls?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, I've been really thinking about this a lot, Kaz. And the more I think about it, I'm not sure where they're going with this whole development thing. Like, I get it. There's guys that are developing. Like, there's no doubt Fred VanVleet has developed, right? He's become a much better player since Kyle Lowry left, and he's been given the run of the team. You know, Pascal Siakam, he's developing nicely, or at least, you know, reemerging into the all-NBA type player we once knew him as. It took a leave of absence from our view for a while there during those couple of bad pandemic seasons. Scotty Barnes is obviously developing. We're watching, you know, a guy with star potential emerging in front of our eyes. And those are all great things. My problem with this plan, Kaz, and the idea that you might need more lottery balls before you can really bring this thing to fruition, is they just don't have enough guys. Like, they got the worst. This is the second year in a row, Kaz, where they have the worst bench in the NBA. And I like, as much as I love the core guys, and there's no, you know, there's nothing bad you can say about the core guys. They're playing crazy minutes. They're working their butts off. They're being used, and they're taking the opportunity that they're being afforded with all that playing time, and they're putting it to good use. As much as I love those guys, it's such a shallow pool of talent here that I just don't see how you're going to be able to proceed here without an injection of more talent. And for a team that kind of grew up in the Ujiri era, often being known for its bench mobs and for its depth and its supporting cast. Their supporting cast, by the way, that, you know, during the run to the championship had guys like Fred VanVleet coming off the bench, had guys like Siakam as the third option. And, you know, not to mention Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol as a tandem.
Norm Powell. And
exactly. And you think about the depth they had in those years. I just think they're going to need more depth, and I'm not sure where they're going to get it unless they're just stealing guys late in the draft, which is not always, you know, always difficult to do.
Yeah, no, it is, and there's only so much you can do in free agency. To me, this is one to keep going back and forth on. Like, would Siakam, Anunoby, and Scotty Barnes, how much more better will they get as players? How much would it positively accelerate their growth with them fighting and, say, getting the seventh seed, winning the play-in game, then losing in six in the first round? I don't know if there's I don't think there's an answer to it, but that's what I'm sort of going back and forth in my head about.
Yeah, no, it is. Look, it is the tough question, right? Like, right now you're sitting there, you're in the eighth seed. Would you be better off? You're only, you know, you're a game and a half, two games and a half out of being out of the play-in, and would you be better off being out of the play-in? Hey, let's not forget, you know, last year, Masai Ujiri scoffed at the play-in. Remember his famous quote, play-in for what? And, you know, you can make that case this year. Play-in for what? What, to get Scotty Barnes a few playoff games that, as you point out, will likely end in a first-round defeat, or, hey, maybe a play-in defeat. Who knows? I'm not sure that, you know, the equation there works. I think you'd rather have the lottery talent in the long run than those handful of games, or maybe one game, if it turns into the play-in, you would get by playing in the playoffs or the play-in. So I'm with you. Like, it is a tough call, because I do think Like, doing it, tanking's getting you nowhere. Like, the Orlando Magic are not poised to become a power anytime soon, and all the lottery balls in the world aren't going to change that this year, next year, or the year after, right? You got to have players. I think Ujiri understands you can't tear it down to the studs, but they're in that mushy middle, as I termed it, where, you know, the road to the next destination, it's not a clear path.
No, it isn't. Actually, you know what? I'm thinking about this. You mentioned Masai Ujiri playing for what? So that's on one side. On the other side, his head coach is playing his guys more minutes than anyone else. Yeah. I wonder how Masai Ujiri feels about Van Vliet being like number one, Barnes being eight, Siakam being somewhere between one and eight. You know, like, I wonder how he feels about that.
Well, look, coaches and GMs and presidents see things differently. You don't have to be a genius to understand that. Nick Nurse is in the here and now, wants to win every possession, wants to win every minute of every quarter. Never wants to give up an inch out there. And therefore, you see Fred VanVleet lead the league in the minutes and on the rest of those guys that you mentioned up there very high in an era of load management. I think it's like most things with executives. I think Masai Ujiri's fine with it, but how will he feel if Fred VanVleet gets hurt because of it? How will he feel if Scotty Barnes gets hurt because of it? There are those who believe you shouldn't play young guys as much as the Raptors are playing Scotty Barnes right now. There are also those, and maybe it's generational, who believe, hey, play him 82, play him as long as you can play him. The better players want to play more, and they play better when they play more. So I do think there's an argument for both sides. I will say this about the Raptors, though, Kaz. Like, I've been given a bit of a glimpse behind the curtain in some of their, player metrics in terms of load measurement, not load management, but load measurement. Now, they've got these GPS systems that the players wear in practice. They know a lot more about how tired these guys are, how much work these guys have put in than we know. And yeah. I got to trust that their sports science department believes that they can take what they're taking right now. Otherwise, I think that's a big problem.
Yeah, I mean, certainly they deserve the benefit of the doubt. All right, Dave Feschuk from the Toronto Star, are you ready for the hardest question that I think I can ask you, sports perspective? I got some ones about religion and life philosophy that might be trick here.
But that was like rosé or red or, like,
well,
that's probably your...
What's the food pairing? What time of year is it? What red are we drinking? I mean, is it a light Gamay? Anyway, I could go on like that, but I already sound like so much like a D-bag. Can you explain to me how there's over 500 NHL players who've drawn more penalties, even strength, than Austin Matthews?
Yeah, certainly I can. I mean,
go.
Well, here I go. Okay.
Yeah.
Look, Austin Matthews, in some ways, is probably a victim of being a horse, right? Like, he's a great athlete who's as strong on your skates as you could be strong on skates, who's got a big, solid frame, who is not knocked off his feet, off the puck, off his stride very easily, doesn't seem to have that diving gene that some players just naturally have, right? So I think that's a big part of it. I also think, the Maple Leafs as a group in a league where referees tend to call one penalty on one team and then one penalty on the next on the opposing team, and they tend to balance those things out. The Maple Leafs en masse just do not drop penalties. They all play a way that does not generally put them anywhere near the top of the power play minutes, right? They're often near the bottom of power play time on ice because of it. And so I think it's also like it's guilt by association. Like the Leafs are known as a fairly soft team that doesn't, go to the places you need to go on a regular basis to draw those penalties. And I do think that reputational aspect of it, because referees are human, is also playing a factor here.
Yeah, it's so basically what you're saying is it a combination that he's got to get maybe a little bit tougher, dirtier, and also maybe channel his inner James Harden a little bit.
Yeah, you got to dive a little bit if you're going to get calls, right?
I hate that. I hate that.
I hate it too, but referees are human, and I'm one of the few guys you'll hear that has a lot of time for referees. I think it's a tough vocation. Yeah. I think it's sad what's happened to the way society kind of craps on referees in all sports. And yeah, I know a little bit about, you know, the problems trying to get people to become referees now at the grassroots level. Like, not a lot of kids want to become referees because parents go at them in minor hockey leagues and minor basketball leagues and minor soccer pitches. And it's disgusting to me. Like, there's no respect for referees. But I will say this, like, you know, they're human and they can be tricked. And the best players who draw the most penalties, they trick them occasionally, Kaz.
Yeah, no, they do. We see it over and over. I leave you with this, Dave. What for you was your biggest takeaway? And maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's like, yeah, Sheldon keeps experimenting. It's the last time he's going to be able to do it all year. Did you have any sort of big picture takeaway of what we're going to see tonight on the lines for the Leafs, where Nylander, Matthews, and Marner are all on separate lines?
No, I think Sheldon Keefe loves experimenting. I think that's a great thing. I wish, you know, if I'm a Leaf fan, I wish he would have experimented, you know, switching up the lines as they were coughing up 3-1 series lead to the Montreal Canadiens last summer or last spring, whenever that was, in the first round again, because I don't think he was particularly experimental in that moment, and I think it hurt them. Certainly with the slump that Matthews and Marner were going through at the time, he didn't do much to shake it up. Maybe they were just overwhelmed by the moment. But look, I think it's a long season. You gotta find ways to motivate and instigate and kind of maybe infuriate your team a little bit if you're a coach. And I think Sheldon Keefe is smart to do that here, because even though it feels like it's been going a long time, Kaz, you know, the playoffs don't start essentially until May, right? We're going deep into April this year before we get to a playoff game. And I do think you need to kind of have some different looks out there to keep everybody interested, including the fans.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And I did wonder, is this line change experiment for tonight's game against the Ducks, how much of it is because of Matthews and Marner getting shut down in that playoff series against Montreal? Dave, always a pleasure. Everyone, I say it all the time, I'm going to say it again. Go out and buy a copy of the Toronto Sun. And the great thing, especially, I'm up here to Cottage. I read the entire paper, and then afterwards, it's kindling. I use every part of the paper from start to finish.
Kaz, it's always an experience, always educational. I'm going to leave you with one thing, and you can explain it to your listeners. Like, the one thing that blew my mind the other day, I was playing a game of Trivial Pursuit, and I found out that something called, not red, not white, but orange wine exists.
Yes.
And
yes,
I was not aware of this, and it blew my mind.
I will just say this. Orange wine, it's basically about just how long you keep the juices in contact with the skins. It's overrated. Okay, there is good stuff out there. Southbrook Winery, they do good orange wine, but it's a little bit of a novelty. It's a hipster drink. It's not here for the long haul.
I didn't know it was rated, let alone overrated. But thank you for the scouting
overrated
report.
Overrated. Thanks so much, Dave.
Okay, guys.
This is Dave Feshchuk from the Toronto Star. This is a sports show. What do you think we do? We rate, we overrate, we underrate. It's kind of just part of the biz. And again, if you like orange wine, that's fine. I think it's overrated. But if you are going to try it, Southbrook, which is in the Niagara region, they do an excellent orange wine. All right, on the other side of the show, Aaron Rodgers. Actually, some pretty interesting quotes beyond some of the boring stuff. Talking about being in a good place with Green Bay and acknowledging him as the villain. That's coming up in a moment, but first, traffic. Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I am your host, Matthew Kaz. We'll do this or that in just a moment, a Wednesday staple here on the show. But I want to go to Aaron Rodgers, who I'm imagining this must have been from the Pat McAfee show, talking about he is actually in a good place with the Green Bay Packers.
I feel like I'm at the place relationally with the Packers, you know, in a really good place, especially with Brian. And the way our friendship and trust has grown, where it would be a simple conversation and whatever comes out of that conversation is moving forward. There's not going to be any weird, you know, standoff, war of silence or anything. It's, you know, Brian and I have had good conversations throughout the year, and when it comes time to make a decision, we'll have a conversation, and that'll be that. It won't be a long, drawn out process, and I think that's what's best for me, for him, for the organization, and for all the other decisions that need to be made.
Well, it depends. Draw it out if there's not a lot going on in sports. Sometimes we need the content here. So, but it does to me, like when I hear him talking about it, and just recently, he seems to be, I don't want to say mellowing, but at least being calmer, or the level of vitriol. How about that? The level of vitriol that Aaron Rodgers has had in the past towards the Green Bay Packers feels like it's lightning. Like, I don't know if you were betting on it, but which way would you go, Conrad, in terms of the future of Aaron Rodgers? Does he stay or does he go?
You know what, Matt? It was a bit of a roller coaster this year. So in the offseason, I would have said, hey, this is his last year. He's going to go a la Brady, and then they'll split ways. And then as the season progressed and the Packers once again had a very successful season and Rodgers was in MVP form and likely to earn the award once again back-to-back seasons, I thought to myself, hey, he's probably going to stick around now. Why would he go somewhere else? Grass isn't always greener on the other side. Now, after that, once again, early playoff exit or earlier than expected playoff exit, I kind of feeling like it's going the other way again. But I do still think Green Bay is his best chance to win, personally.
Yes. I'm of the same opinion on that. Now, give me Aaron Rodgers talking about how people rooting against him and his team because of his vaccination status.
There were a ton of people tuning in, rooting against us for one reason and one reason only. It's because of, you know, my vaccination status and them wanting to see us lose so they could pile on and enjoy and revel in the fact that, you know, my vaccination status was, you know, some sort of reason why we haven't had success in the playoffs or whatever it might be, some sort of correlation.
And I can't believe, you know, if you told me the day before the whole vaccine thing came out that at some point he would be the villain in the NFL beyond, you know, maybe the Chicago or Detroit area, I would absolutely be shocked. Before I go to break, again, a reminder, Raptors-Bulls, that game you can listen to right here on TSN 1050. I'm nervous about betting on the game just because I don't know what version we're going to get in Toronto. You know, the one that wins last night is super competitive against elite teams, beat Milwaukee, or the one that came out so flat against Portland, the one that got dominated by the Pistons. But I do like the over of 219.5. That's at -103. Chicago is one of the better offensive teams. Zach LaVine is back. DeMar DeRozan didn't play in the last game, but at 41 in the Bulls' Sunday win over Orlando. And what we do know is that Van Vliet and Scotty Barnes both travel to Chicago. And if the Raptors put up 125 without those guys, should be able to, you know, hit 110, 112, something like that with them back in the lineup. So I do like the over in that contest. We got to take a break on the other side. We do it every Wednesday. It is This or That, hosted by Producer Conrad. That's coming up in a moment. I'm Matthew Cos. You're listening to Gameplay right here on TSN 1050. Time now for a News Talk 1010 traffic update. Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Cos. In just a second, we will be doing Would You Rather with Producer Conrad. Just a couple little quick notes. Again, a reminder that the Lakers beat the Nets last night 106-96. Anthony Davis returned, only 8 points on 3 of 8 shooting from the field. But the big thing is they were 7-11 since Davis went down with an injury on December 17th. So adjust your betting accordingly on the Lakers, but be careful. I don't think you're going to get much value on wins. They are one of the most public teams out there. Meanwhile, Phoenix and Utah, there's not going to be DeAndre Ayton in the lineup. And you will not see Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. So I do like the over for Bogdan Bogdanovic in terms of overs for points, but also over for turnovers at 2.5 at +146. I see him having to do greater responsibility on offense. So that means heavier minutes, ball in his hand more, greater opportunity for him to turn the ball over. And then on the other side, Chris Ball, this one's easy, minus 117, double-double tonight. The guy's just been on a hell of a tear and was great last time these teams met just a couple days ago. All right, as I said, we do it each and every Wednesday here. It's time for, I think I said, would you rather? I'm a dummy. It's time now for this or that.
Homer, please don't make me choose between my man and my God, because you just can't win.
Here you go again, always taking someone else's side. Flanders, the water department, God.
All right, producer Conrad, what do you got?
All right, Matthew, and I'll let that slide. Would you rather basically the exact same thing as this or
no,
that?
But, no, this is so different. This is completely different. There's nothing similar about these.
You know, there's nothing similar whatsoever. So we'll start it off with some touchy subjects. Should Roger Clemens be in the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Yes, he is the second best pitcher I saw behind Greg Maddux. His numbers were incredible before the steroid era became a thing. Who knows how many batters he faced who were also on steroids who were never caught. You cannot tell the story of 80s and 90s baseball without Roger Clemens.
And a good Blue Jays alumni as well. So we'll follow that up with, should Barry Bonds be in the Hall of Fame?
The greatest hitter I have ever seen. I wasn't old enough for the DiMaggio's, the Ted Williams of the world, but he's the greatest hitter I ever saw. With apologies to Albert Pujols, Mike Trout, there's a lot of other great hitters out there. No one was better than Barry Bonds. Again, three MVPs before the whole steroid thing. And then in his last year, his on-base percentage, he led baseball. He was 42 at the time.
Yeah, and he stole quite a few bases over the course of his career as well. So not just a great hitter, not just
400 home run, 400 steal. The only guy to do that.
Yeah, not just a one-trick pony there, Matt. All right, we'll head over to the NHL, where Philadelphia Flyers defenseman Keith Yandel has officially become the NHL's record holder for the Ironman streak with 965 consecutive games played, previously held by Doug Jarvis. He could get up to 1,000 by late April. Does he hit 1,000?
Ooh,
the streak's got to stop somewhere.
The streak's got, you know what? I'm going to go no. Now that you've got it, maybe now it's time for a rest or something like that. I'm going to say no, he does not hit 4 digits.
Fair enough. A follow-up to that one, we're not quite sure where the streak is going to end up with the consistency and availability that Yandel has displayed, but will we ever see someone play over 965 games straight again?
I don't think so because of how we treat load management. So, no, I don't think you'll see that. I don't think you'll see that again.
Is the NBA's load management head rearing its head into the NHL there, Matt?
I think it is. I think it is. And it's just, you know, teams are now employing that more. So, yeah, I think just the odd rest day is becoming more of a thing. So, yeah, and you know what? I kind of get bummed out about it because I love the idea of someone playing every game. At the same point, if there's enough science and pro points to that can actually hurt a guy down the road, then I get it.
Okay, flipping over to the NFL, we saw Sean Payton retire, or in his words, resign. He said, retirement's not the right word for today. Will we see Sean Payton coach again?
Yes, 58 years old. He's walking away from $9 million a year. I think he will coach again. I think, everyone's always going to point to Dallas. And, I mean, that one makes a lot of sense. Jerry Jones is not a young man desperate for a Super Bowl. I think Sean Payton spends 1 year out of the game. Then Dallas somehow screws it up again. McCarthy is fired, and it's Dak Prescott and Sean Payton.
Yeah, it's kind of like with Bill Cowher there. He never actually came back into the game, but his name was swirling around the head coaching rumors for probably about 10 years. So until Payton comes back, we'll probably see his name mixed up in that as well. Moving over to Antonio Brown, will we ever see him play again?
No. I don't think anyone wants that in their roster. And you saw just his social media shenanigans. The guy is addicted to fame. The guy and his social media. And he's not alone. But no, I think the final last straw was him taking shots at Brady. You got to wonder, it's like, if you're a quarterback, do you want that? I mean, it will help you some weeks, and then other weeks, it's a disaster. So, no, I don't see it happening.
I'll steal a line from Dr. Seuss's The Grinch. I wouldn't touch him with a 39.5-foot pole. All right.
Damn right.
Championship games this weekend, Chiefs or Bengals?
I'll take the Chiefs. Obviously, the question is, am I taking the 7 points? And as of now, I am. Every year in the AFC Championship game, they win and they cover, except for the 1 year where it was the D Ford play and it was Patrick Mahomes who never got an opportunity to touch the ball in overtime as Brady led the Pats to an overtime win a couple of years ago.
Four straight AFC Championship games at home for the Chiefs, and Andy Reid also did that with the Philadelphia Eagles. So, absolutely phenomenal accomplishment from him. All right, Rams or 49ers on the other side of things?
I'm going with the 49ers to at least cover the spread.
Ooh.
They've done it 2 weeks. I've been right with them the last 2 weeks. I got to keep riding with the 49ers.
And six straight wins against the Rams for the 49ers. Both head coaches a part of all of those games. All right, the young Canadian tennis player with better chance of winning a Grand Slam or a major, if you will. Denis Shapovalov or Felix Auger-Aliassime?
I'm going to go with Felix. He seems just is able to control his emotions a little bit better than Shapovalov. Listen, a hell of an Aussie Open for both of them. Aliassime had a chance to win in that fifth set, or at least force it to 5-5. Impressive by him, but also bad. I feel for both of them. But I'm going to go with Felix Auger-Aliassime.
Yeah, I feel like Dennis came onto the scene and was the, you know, sexier name out of the two. But the trajectory of Auger-Aliassime over the past year and a bit has definitely, you know, put him in the discussion as well. So it's a toss-up between those two, but I like you picking Felix. All right, last question here, Matt. The Overdrive guys did a list of most irrelevant sports franchises yesterday. The winner, the Sacramento Kings.
Yes
or no to that?
100%. That's hilarious. Even before you said it, I was thinking, I always think that the Sacramento Kings, 100%. I mean, those guys are hockey heads, so you might want to throw like a Minnesota Wild into the conversation. But the Sacramento Kings absolutely is a great pick for most irrelevant franchise in sports.
Yeah, from other teams that come to mind from here, the Miami Marlins and the Arizona Coyotes, both larger markets than Sacramento, but
the Marlins have won. At least the Marlins have they got some World Series. That takes it away from me.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the last pick in the NFL is known as Mr. Irrelevant, Matt, but you'd be my first pick as Mr. Relevant. And you can hear Mr. Relevant every day on TSN 1050, 1-4, and occasionally on Friday mornings on First Up. Back to you, Cuz.
Thank you very much. Yes, I'm sure you will hear me on Friday on First Up. Usually it's 8:20, but it depends on what one guest they have. But, I mean, with Sacramento, never been to an NBA Finals. Also, they've had good, like that brief run with Chris Webber and Vlade. But Mike Bibby, but who's the signature player that was there for the entire career? I just can't think of one.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. You got me stumped, Matt.
Yeah, but and that's the point. I don't have one as well. You know, so it's unfair to me to throw it out to you to expect you to have an answer to that question. So the Kings are definitely one, but if we're talking about North America, because if it's Canada, we're going to do an NBA team. Or, you know, I would say the San Diego Padres, but they got a lot of star players now.
Yeah.
So I might throw the Minnesota Wild, even though they're a really good team. You know, they're another team that just, they kind of fly under the radar.
Yeah. I'm Minnesota's a bit of a hockey hotbed there, right, though? So they do
it
love
is
their
there.
Hockey.
Yeah. And, you know, okay, good point, because in the state of California, the Kings are falling. You know, everyone in California is a Laker person.
Right.
Plus, you got the joy of Golden State, you know. So, yeah, no, you know what, Sacramento Kings. I'm good with that.
All right.
Totally good with that. I'm totally good with that one. All right. On the other side, sound of the day. We've Chris Mad Dog Russo, a legend in the radio game. Him and Stephen A. Smith are yelling at each other about the Baseball Hall of Fame. I need to hear that sound. We will hear that sound in just a moment. You are listening to Gameplay right here on TSN 1050. Time now for a News Talk 1010 traffic update. Someone texted the show, hey, Cause, Marcelo from Toronto. I wish they gave us load management days in construction. I feel for you, and I hear that. Myself, no, I will never compare myself to construction. I'm in the soft, cushy job of a radio host. I do not need load management. But I got to tell you, I feel for anyone in construction, especially if you're working outdoors in winter. And my girlfriend's dad has a drywall company, and just talking about working with metal, hammering, just so many things. It just hurts your hands so much in winter, especially the first couple hours getting things going. You know, once you're working inside the house and you can get a heater, it's okay. But when you're outside, woof. So be good, be careful, be safe. And my God, I hope you can be warm. All right, we do this at the end of each and every show. It is time now for Sound of the Day.
Sound of the Day, Sound of the Day. Here comes the Sound of the Day.
And for Sound of the Day, we go to Chris Russo versus Stephen A. Smith. And I was this on Stephen's show, Conrad? Was this on First Up or Get Up or First? What, like, I always forget the name of Stephen A. Smith's show.
Yeah, it was on Stephen's show. Him and Molly Kiram Rose there, so it yeah. It was his show exactly.
All right, so there's two clips here. Do you want to say, yes, help set them up for me, because I saw the link for it and you were able to go through like six minutes of the two of them yelling at each other. So what do we got here? Because as I said on yesterday's show, there's almost nothing that gets people, at least in sports, especially old school sports people, gets them more animated than any conversation about the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, the first clip is Chris Russo talking about all the players prior to the Bonds era who were setting the record and, you know, the shenanigans that were going on there and people voting them into the Hall of Fame or this and that. And the second clip is just pretty much Stephen A. and Chris Russo going back and forth saying, if you want to let one guy in, you got to let all of them in. So your call on which one you want to play first.
We'll start with the second one, more of the yelling.
All right, here we go.
The bottom line is, what were you before the steroids kicked in?
So he was a Hall of Famer.
Thank you. Put him in!
All right, but don't you want to be consistent? What? You got steroids. Why put Ortiz in if Bonds and Clemens are not in? Either they all go or nobody
that's
goes.
That's what I'm trying to say to you. All of them should go in.
But they didn't, don't
they? They said, I'm saying that.
And they're not getting it. They're listen, out.
I totally agree with you about the inconsistency. They should not be out. All the Big Poppy, don't get me started with Big Poppy. My brother, and I'm a Yankee fan. And what he did to the Yankees, that's the only problem I ever had with Big Poppy. But I love Big Poppy. Don't tell me he ain't no Hall of Famer with what he did as a DH with 500 plus over and the way he terrorized
people.
You
don't have a problem that he failed a random drug test in 2003?
No, I don't. Because what else? What proof do you have? Do you have
evidence? Well, Mike, you know why I have proof?
The commissioner
of the New York Times and Michael Schmidt, who's a Hall of Fame writer, he broke the story.
The commissioner of Gonzalez.
Those are the Hall of Fame yellers, and you either love or you hate what they do. And for everyone who hates that, I totally get it. I'm not going to fight with you. I find it amusing. And so, sorry, the second clip, was it about Roger Maris's hair? What was that about again?
Yeah, there's a reference in there where when Roger Maris set the record that his hair was falling out. So if you want to get to that one, we can bang it right now.
Let's hear it.
Everybody knew, though.
Everybody knew that Morley was, you know, Jeter didn't do steroids.
I'm saying that.
Everybody knew that Morley was not the right thing
to do. So, Stephen, what is that going to do for this generation, then? How is that fair if they get in? So then should they be allowed to do steroids, too?
As my boy Jeff Brown in California.
It's not even, then.
Hold on, Molly. As my boy Jeff Brown in California religiously says, fair is a place where they judge pigs. It doesn't exist. I mean, we don't care about that. The bottom line is, what were you before the steroids kicked in?
So he was a Hall of Famer.
Thank you. Put him in. Hold on, Molly. As my boy.
How long do you think Stephen A. Smith was holding on that line about pig and fair?
You know, he probably kept that one in the holster for a couple weeks. But you know, Stephen A., he's probably full of those.
How proud do you think he was? Like, just what was the pride factor, do you think, in Stephen A. Smith when he unleashed that line on Chris Mad Dog Russo.
Oh, it was a 10 out of 10. Yeah. It was a full 10.
What are you looking for in tonight's game? You know what's one thing I feel bad for? Maybe because he didn't play in the last game for the Bulls. The one guy we haven't talked about is DeMar DeRozan. And it's DeMar DeRozan taking on the Raptors. It's Raptors and Bulls, a game that you can listen to right here on TSN 1050, 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock tip-off. We get to see DeRozan. We get to see all the different line combos and the Leafs-Ducks. What for you, Conrad, are you most excited for?
Yeah, that's got to be the main storyline, being a Torontonian and a Raptors fan, seeing one of your most beloved players or former players, suiting up against your old team. It's always good memories. A little bit bittersweet, but always good memories.
All the best. Thank you so much, Conrad. Great job today. Again, reminder, today is Bell Let's Talk Day. Go to bell.ca/letstalk for more information, and Bell will donate 5 cents for every applicable text, call, or social media interaction. So when you're on social media, use the hashtag Bell Let's Talk. That's it. Overdrive is next. Then you got Raptors and Bulls. Time now for traffic.